Continuing technical education, I would also suggest, is a constant need for today's patent practitioner handling computer-related cases, which is mostly what I do. Time and time again, I've dealt with applications that have been transferred to me for prosecution with a specification that is too skimpy or reflects just a fundamental lack of understanding of the underlying technology or just insufficient information about it. Just within the past 8 months, I've had to learn the ins and outs of Roberta-type machine learning models, writing ERC 721 compliant tokens to the Ethereum blockchain, and how to use Facebook's Presto query engine and Apache's Hive software in large-scale database systems. So the message is that technology is constantly changing. Clients or applicants are constantly going to challenge you with new areas, and there's really no substitute to dive in, learn what these technologies are, and articulate them in your specification so that we have the story that Michael was speaking of to help the courts find eligibility in your favor. So I'd suggest that eligibility considerations begin at the inventor interview stage. Not at spec drafting, not at claim drafting, and not at filing, but in the earliest stages of the inventor interview. We work frequently with technologists who, to communicate with others, are most comfortable explaining inventions at a functional level. But as we've seen with some of the cases that were just discussed, functional claims are a real problem for eligibility and are frequently being overturned. So, if the inventor interview includes answers that are coming only at a functional level, it's necessary to develop your interviewing skills to probe for technical processes that represent an invention. And in fact, just constantly switching context between understanding the invention at a user experience level or a functional level in terms of what the machine is doing high level, and the deep technical details of how data is being moved to different places, transformed in particular ways, interacting with other technical elements, that context switching is very important. And I constantly find myself refocusing these interviews away from the business justification for an invention to the technical means. There's some additional tips on that in the written materials that I've provided. I also favor very conscious claim drafting. I do it in an iterative process in which I try to draft the claims in a natural way to describe the invention as the inventors have conveyed it to me, and then make a second pass through, acting as the most pessimistic Federal Circuit judge that I can imagine, to ask how the claims are not directed to an abstract idea or integrate it into a practical application or recite significantly more. And, you know, something that struck me in the conversation a moment ago about the authentication-related cases is how, aside from the 313 patent, the three other patents recited the step of authentication using just that term. And I would suggest that lots of people write claims using terms like authentication that they think subjectively have an inherent technical meaning, which may not to the examiner or to the judge. The details of what that means in computer operation represent the next step in claim drafting, possibly for a second independent claim, so you have multiple claims of different scope. But I would not rest on broad terms like that, especially because the European Patent Office, as we'll hear, won't suffer functional claims. They will require the recitation of technical means, or the case will just go nowhere. I'd also suggest conscious drafting of the drawings and the specification to focus on physical and technical elements that interact with others. Now, in retrospect, my first bullet here, that everything in the specification should be one of those things, I think is too strong. There is a place for a high-level introduction to the invention in a functional way in a flow diagram, but We really need to make the specification rich with technical details that contribute to the story, as Michael advocated in the prior panel. I usually write the specification again in two passes, once in a way that captures everything that the inventors explained to me, and then second, a detailed pass asking myself, have I explained every high-level function that I've mentioned in terms of the technical means for accomplishing it? For example, if a request is received, how is that request received? Is it an API call? Is it a parameterized HTTP post request with specified parameters? These types of details not only contribute to enablement, but they provide a fallback position for the claims should you need to integrate other technical means to overcome eligibility objections. I don't claim the user. I try to refer to user accounts, user computers, other tangible means of implementing an invention and not abstract elements like people. And as well, I prefer to include paragraphs to summarize the technical solution to provide a narrative, which we'll see is so important for the EPO. An example is on the screen now. This is taken from a granted patent that I found with a fairly simple search. And what the drafter has done is simply given conclusory statements that tell the story of why the innovation is important, something that the courts can seize on to find eligibility.